Great, so I think we can give it a start. So welcome to the London School of Economics and to the Department of Sociology. My name is Juan Pablo Pardo Vera. I think the slides are a little bit fuzzy, so if you have any problems seeing what's written on the slide, feel free to interrupt me. What I'll do today is we have 45 minutes, so I'll do a brief presentation of about 20 minutes, and then we can open it up for questions. Any questions that you might have about the undergraduate program. Now, I've been with LSE Sociology since 2010, and right now I am acting as the departmental tutor, which means that I am essentially responsible for the undergraduate program. I oversee students, also program regulations, and I try to make things work as efficiently and as productively as possible. So again, if you have any questions, this is a great time to ask it. I won't be the DT next year, but someone else who I'll talk about in a second will. This person is fantastic. She's brilliant. She's really, really one of the best teachers that the LSE has, actually. She's won several awards and so forth. And I'll tell you a little bit about her work and the philosophy that she'll probably have when she takes over the undergraduate degree in September. But, again, this is an introduction to what we do and hopefully something that will draw your attention and that we can talk about in a bit. So, today, what I'll do is focus on a question that most of you must be asking yourselves, in a sense, which is, why should I join LSE Sociology? So this is something that might be in the back of all of your heads, in a sense. It's something that you're all asking yourselves, and that I'll try to answer in three steps. So I'll tell you three reasons, I'll give you three specific reasons of why joining LSE Sociology is the best thing you can do, in a sense, what we can offer, and how LSE Sociology can contribute to your lives professionally, intellectually, and in the long run, in a sense. So the first reason why you should join the department, why our program is so exciting, has to do with the discipline itself. Sociology is fascinating. It's an incredible field. It's exciting. It deals with a variety of issues that go from conversations and discussions about class and inequality to discussions about financial markets, for instance. So sociology is a really comprehensive and interdisciplinary field within the social sciences. How many of you have experience with sociology? How many of you have done sociology in A-levels? Great. So that's very, very positive. You all know what sociology does, what it's all about. So it's a fascinating field. And you can see it from a historical perspective, and you can study people like this, Marx, or my personal favorite, Weber, who is someone that I sort of agree with a little bit more, or Durkheim, who is very important for those who study culture or are interested in the symbolic aspects of social life. One of the things we do in sociology at LSE is introduce you to these key authors and other central authors of the discipline that provide you a theoretical framework through which you can analyze the world. So one of the key things is going back into the 19th century, reading the text of these key thinkers, understanding the context in which they were producing knowledge, they were analyzing society, and how that analysis is relevant today. Why? Because sociology isn't about reading old dead people, in a sense. These people have been around for centuries in some cases, and their writings are with us today. We can read them, we can engage with them, but they're relevant not because of those writings. They're relevant because of the applicability, the importance that those writings hold in studying modern transformations in society. So sociology today isn't only about Marx, Weber, Durkheim, etc., etc. It's also about some of the key changes that characterize the 20th, 21st, and 22nd century when that actually happens. It relates to issues of, for instance, war. How is it that we understand international conflict from a sociological perspective? What can we tell about humanitarian issues that other disciplines might not be able to capture. That's one of the things where these authors come to life and allow us to understand current processes in the world. But sociology also analyzes, quite classically, things such as the transformation of cities. I mean, sociology emerged as a field when cities were undergoing a tremendous transformation. Think back in the 19th century, how people were moving from the fields into cities, into an industrial process of production and organization. Sociology still analyzes that. There's a ton of work in the discipline today that covers such things as the redevelopment of London around the Olympics. What are the implications of that? What were the consequences of that physical transformation of our built environment? How is it that that will affect generations to come? And how can we understand those effects from a sociological perspective? But sociology also analyzes other things, such as social movements, for instance, and the inherent or the critical divisions that define contemporary societies. Sociology is also a study of politics, quite substantively. So a lot of the work that goes into the sociological tradition, or that defines the sociological tradition, has to do with understanding how is it that people organize into parties, how is it that categories in society get created, categories of class, for instance, of gender, of political affiliation, and how those categories change the world in which we inhabit, change the way we relate to others, and we understand ourselves. So that's another thing that these authors allow us to understand and to study, and that we're doing so today. We're analyzing these types of processes. But again, sociology is not only about these classical, quote-unquote, sociological themes. In recent years, sociology has been used to, for instance, understand the underpinnings of the economy. And one important tradition recently in the discipline is the study of financial markets. So sociology isn't only about social movements, the city, class, ethnicity, gender. It's also about how people in trading rooms in the city, like 2 kilometers down the road, are creating capital in peculiar ways, sitting in front of trading screens and trying to create novel realities in the financial world. That's also a sociological problem, and it's a problem that we address in the classes and the courses in our program. Again, it's also about current mobilization. So a lot of work in the recent British sociological tradition has gone into understanding such things as the riots a few years back. There was a lot of work at LSE around the riots and how to understand them, how to locate them, and try to perhaps predict in the future similar events. But it's also about things such as peaceful manifestations against the government or for the government or against particular things that are taking place in the modern world. And it's also about one of the key things where LSE sociology distinguishes itself is the study of crime and criminality, for instance. There's a long tradition within the department on studying the sociology of crime. How is it that we can understand these basic transgressions of how people should behave in society from a sociological perspective? One of the, again, best teachers we have, one of the best professors we have in the department, Janet Foster, teaches a course that is always oversubscribed. It's fascinatingly interesting. She brings in criminologists to talk with the students, in a sense, and to have conversations every single week with students in order to get into their heads of what experts on crime think about when they're analyzing things such as a homicide or a robbery or something like that. And it's a fascinating course. She always gets sort of fantastic reviews, and it's something that students do remember quite a bit. But then again, just like sociology can analyze financial markets and things as crime, it can also analyze current transformations in, for instance, science and technology. So another key area in which the department has demonstrable expertise, in a sense, is the study of science as a social process. And here there's the work of several of our sort of members of staff who are trying to understand how is it that, for instance, biotechnology is at the same time a technology for changing nature, but also a technology for changing society in fundamental ways. So again, sociology is everywhere. It's not only about these old dead people, it's also about things that are happening today in the streets of London, Cairo, in Malaysia, and throughout the whole world. In a sense, it's a sociology, it's a discipline that studies the present based on what we understand from the past, in a sense. So how is it that we are organized as a department? How is it that we define our identity, in a sense? So basically, at LSE Sociology, we work in three or four groups of themes, in a sense. You could think of these as areas where we have some type of expertise, or clear expertise. One of them, very classical within the discipline, is the study of politics, states, social movements, and that's one of the bits that we work on. Another one, which is quite relevant to London, is a group of people who talk and study social change, urban space, and the transformation of societies from both a material and social perspective. The work on inequalities, for instance, falls within this particular cluster. There's also people who work on human rights, violence, and humanitarian law, and how is it that we approach these from a sociological perspective. And then there's another large group that works on issues of the economy, how we understand risk, and how we analyze technology also from a sociological perspective. And more or less, we have about 20-something members of staff, in a sense. So there's a bunch of people. All of them teach in both the undergraduate and the postgraduate programs. Most of them have PhD students, and they're all heavily involved, in a sense, in communicating their research in the classroom and trying to show how sociology is practiced today. Some of the scholars or some of the people that we have include Mike Savage. Mike Savage is, you might have heard of him from the BBC's Great British Class Survey. It was in the news, I think, a year ago, more or less, and it was a study led by Mike Savage and other sociologists to reconceptualize the notion of class in Britain today. Whereas before we would think of class in terms of an elite and a working class, today that no longer holds valid. How is it that we can think of class in a moment in history when people are doing so many different activities and don't define necessarily themselves as either working class or elite? So Mike is one of those key contributors. We also have people like Nigel Dodd. He's sort of this fuzzy pixel here in the bottom. Who's an expert, a world expert on money. And you would imagine, well, money, what is an expert on money doing in a sociology department? Well, actually, money is one of the classical topics within sociology. If you look at people like Durkheim and Simmel, you'll see that they discuss money as essentially a social relation. And Nigel is one of the key authors and the key contributors to that literature and that part of the discipline today. I, for instance, I'm sort of this pixel over here, I work on financial markets, so I study a little bit of the city. I try to understand how is it that markets came to be these complex, interconnected technical systems where people are trading in fractions of a millisecond. So right now people they buy and sell shares in 1/1000th of a second, and that's where the activity in financial markets is today. How is it that we got to this point? That's one of the things that I study. But there's other people, like Claire, who's here, who study such things as human rights, but who have recently migrated into new areas of study, which are translated into how she teaches on, for instance, forensics. Now, Claire, who's going to assume the job of DT from next year on, is doing this really interesting study of how is it that forensic technologies are used in international humanitarian law, in order to resolve conflicts. Because one of the key issues in global sort of law related to war crimes is determining whether there was a massacre or not, for instance. And there's a lot of politics that goes into that, but also a lot of discussion about what constitutes evidence, what are the right tools for discovering these violations of for these war crimes, in a sense. And some of the work that she's doing goes into that. Now, we don't just work in these little, small domains. We work across these different areas. So I do a little bit of politics sometimes. Claire does a little bit of technology and also human rights. And we do this because what we want to convey is the fact that sociology is inherently interdisciplinary, in a sense. That sociology is about connecting disparate bits of knowledge and trying to come up with something new and original out of that. And that's what we do in our research, but that's also something we do in the classroom, in the way we design our classes, and in the way we sort of assess and also design the activities around the course. So that's a little bit about us. But there's a second reason why LSE sociology is great, and it's fantastic. And it's because it equips you better than other disciplines and other programs. And this is something that we've observed quite recently, actually, out of our alumni, in a sense. And we've had conversations with them, and they've been fascinating conversations for a number of reasons. How is it that we equip our students? How is it that we provide them tools that, for instance, economics or political science simply cannot provide? Well, we do it by introducing students to both theory and methods. To try to highlight that the important thing is combining theoretical insights and putting them into practice. So and we do this in 3 years, in 3 steps. So the first year is really an introduction to 2 key things. The first one is the simple theories of sociology approached by either topics or individual authors. And those are 2 courses that students take the first year. In addition to that, there's a new course that we recently introduced on statistics and society, which offers a sort of dipping into some quantitative methods that are relevant for social scientists and for understanding the social world. And it's a course that we offer within the department so that it's completely aligned to the type of work that a sociologist does. It's not just course offered outside of the department which might have nothing to bear or nothing related to the discipline in a sense. And in the first year, you can also take an outside course. So you can explore other disciplines and other forms of knowledge and try to connect them with these other 3 courses. In the second year, we move on to a clear discussion about methods. So by then, students have an idea of what sociology is theoretically, what are the fundamental traditions within the field. And in this year, we introduce them to current conversations and discussions in the sociological literature, in a course called Sociological Analysis, where we train students to analyze current events in such a way that they can exercise their sociological imagination or their gaze and explore what it means to be a sociologist. But we also introduce them to methods, introduce ethnographies, focus groups, all these different types of things that are relevant for studying the social world. And in addition to that, students get to take 2 courses from either within or outside the department. There's always a series of options that are interesting and that relate to the specific interests of students. So that's second year. By then, students start thinking about their third year, and in particular what they want to do for this, which is one of the courses that I convene, that I'm in charge of, which is called the Sociological Project. So the final year of the degree is about putting all these things together into 1 piece of research, of independent research designed and defined by the students themselves that showcases their interests and also the way they have engaged with the discipline. And students do some amazing things, really fantastic and amazing. One student last year who got an 85, it's something relatively unheard of, within, in terms of Marx. It was an outstanding study of masculinity, ideas of masculinity amongst working parents, based on interviews and also time use diaries that the student got working parents to answer. And he would analyze how is it that variations in working patterns translated into different notions of what it means to be, quote-unquote, a man. And that study was better, perhaps, than most MSE studies. And that's what tends to happen, actually, with this course. Students get prepared to such a high level that most of the dissertations that I read every year are better than the dissertations that I read from master's students. And that's because, A, they reflect genuine interest in that topic. So it's a topic that you decide in conversations with your academic advisors and that we sort of guide you through. But it's also a topic that reflects this theoretical and methodological training that you've received throughout the year. Again, during this third year, you can also take two additional courses, which can be from sociology or other departments, and which generally link to the topic of the project, the sociological project. And again, the things that are produced are fantastic. Someone this year is working on this fascinating study of Iranian cinema, and how is it that ideas of gender are constructed in Iranian cinema. Another student is working on football fans, and how is it that you can study football fans as a social group and understand perhaps the commercialization of football in recent years, and how is it that fans understand that in the stadium and in the clubs. And it's really interesting research. It's fantastic, and I love to teach that course, so that's a course to look for in a sense, and to expect and to really try to engage with. And the key thing about the program, or the key thing we try to do with this sequence, is to show that sociology is not only about reading theory, it's not only about reading Marx, Weber, blah, 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 it's about doing things. It's about being practical and putting all this knowledge into practice. And this is where the conversations with our alumni have been quite interesting, in the sense that the course that they remember the most 3-4 years after they've left the LSE tends to be the dissertation course. And it's that course because it's the one where all this practical and theoretical knowledge comes, is combined in a sense. And that's where they exercise the type of skills that they then find relevant and useful in the workplace. So even if they end up working on something completely unrelated to what their project was, the skills that they develop in producing that project tend to be critical in how they evolve professionally, in a sense. And they go into a variety of areas. Our students end up going into the civil service. So this person who did this fantastic study last year went into the civil services fast track, and he's working with the Home Office now. Some go into industry. We have people who go into Ernst & Young, which is no longer called Ernst & Young. It's now EY. Another set of students go into think tanks, charities, startups. They go into all these different places, and they take these expertise, this practice, this knowledge into those professions, in a sense. It's a degree that, because it combines both quantitative and qualitative training, gives you the flexibility to go into a variety of areas. So that's the second reason. It gives you tools that other degrees, that other sort of careers don't give you. And, okay, this is the third one. Because we're a very good department, we are one of the best departments in the world, full stop. So I don't believe in league tables, and there's actually a lot of sociological research that says that league tables are dangerous, and you might be introduced to some of that in some courses. Rankings do things. They make us think in particular ways and expect things from certain institutions. They make us want to play the rankings and conform to the rankings, so they're a little bit dangerous. But we are in the top 10 programs in the UK, according to a series of rankings, including the Complete University Guide. We recently came up as the fourth best department in the world, which was quite nice, in the QS ranking. We're there up with Harvard and Chicago, and I don't remember what the other one is. We're the best in the UK, according to them. And the indicators of student satisfaction have increased dramatically in the past couple of years because we're very interested in making this an exciting degree, making this something meaningful that students take away and remember for many years to come. And that reflects in the way they think about the world, they engage with society, and they develop professionally, in a sense. So we've been doing a lot of work in trying to increase that student satisfaction, but not only in trying to get better at the rankings, also in trying to get better at making better students, in a sense, making better sociologists and introducing them to the world. And we've done so. We have fantastic people out there, and we're very proud of them, and we would like you to be part of this community, in a sense. So that is all I have to say about why the LSC makes sense. So now, if you have questions, we can move on to that part, and we can discuss things that you might have in mind about the department, about the LSC. It can be anything from where's the gym to where do you get good coffee. Yeah?
Do you need A level maths to do the stats in sport?
No. So it's designed in such a way that you don't need maths, A-level maths, to do the stats course. And that was a big issue in the past because we had a stats course that was run by the statistics department, and statistics people tend not to be the best ones to teach sociologists because they are very dry and they don't link with the contents of the discipline. Statistics makes sense in a particular way than in sociology. So what we did is we introduced the course, sort of took over the course, so that students don't need that prerequisite and can link the knowledge directly to sociological field. Yeah?
And what are the requirements
for the degree, it's AAB. Yeah. Yeah?
We're sociology virgins, actually. What key skill sets would a graduate take from this course into industry?
I mean, for instance, you need to have analytical skills because a lot of the work is not only analyzing data and sort of synthesizing literature, complex literature, into small texts. So you develop some analytical skills in terms of producing well-written essays that make sense, that have a few arguments, communicate the argument well. That's one thing. The other thing is there's a combination of quantitative and qualitative skills that is very unique. So even though for some students the statistics course is a bit of a pain, when they do it, 3 years down the road, they realize that it's very helpful. That actually, in industry, when you have to deal with basic statistics, that course is very valuable. At the same time, the students can do very well at interviews, so they know how to design interviews, how to design focus groups, etc. So there's these methods-related skills that are provided by the courses that are also very relevant. And of course, there's a lot of activities that are related to our group. So there's also this more personal skill of becoming confident within group work and within teamwork throughout the degree, in a sense. So it does develop a series of competencies and skills that are relevant to the outside world, in a sense.
Because you can join this course with social policy at a really simple level, do you say it's fair to say that sociology is the theoretical side and social policy is the practical side of it?
You could say that, but that would be a bit of a... I think that would be a bit of a stark division. I mean, my take on that is that sociology looks more at causes, in a sense, and whereas social policy wants to fix a problem immediately and has a horizon of trying to solve something within the next year or two, sociology thinks more in terms of historical processes and as such offers a different type of solutions, in a sense. So I think the difference is not so much about theoretical versus applied, it's more on the perspective that you have on social problems. And that's why I like sociology more, because it's slightly more, it questions and criticizes a little bit more the nature of social problems. Since they're not easy to solve. If they were, we would have solved them years ago. So, and that's one of the things that the discipline gives you. Yeah?
How many undergrad students do you take in each year?
We take 34 every year. So we have about 100 students in the program throughout 3 years, which makes it a small program. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do more year after year, which is integrating students throughout those 3 years and creating more of a sense of community within the program. And we do have that. Some students end up being very close, but we're trying to create an even stronger sense of that. And some change is infrastructural and physical. So now we have a better equipped department in order to organize events, to help the student society to do things and to provide sort of the infrastructure that they need to create that community in a sense.
Yeah. Following up on that question, how many people apply for the course?
I think, if I'm not completely wrong, it's 81.
81?
Yeah. I think that's the latest number. Yeah.
Are there any levels that are often preferred to match up with class?
I mean, history, psychology is also something that is taken into account. Anything really related to social issues or qualitative and historical type of things would equip you for the degree in a sense. The most difficult transition in a sense is the one related to essay writing. So if you have skills in essay writing, the transition into the degree isn't that difficult. If you don't have those skills, then there's support that we provide so that you develop those skills in the first 6 months of the course. Because writing an essay can be difficult for those who haven't done it in the past. And we provide a little bit of support for that, so that you understand what the logic of writing is. Yeah?
If you give that support, people can't use the math as well. As that.
Yeah. So our GTAs or the tutors who are involved in the stats course are sociologists, and they tend to give quite a lot of support to students. And actually, for instance, with the previous course that was offered by the statistics department, and was a prerequisite or a compulsory course, students would tend to fail a lot. So 50% of the students would fail, and that made very little sense, because it couldn't be the students were good, but it probably had to be the course. And now, the students that failed that course and took the new course have all passed, in a sense. They've all done pretty well. So that says something about the support that they're receiving and also the way in which the course works. They don't need to worry about the stats. I mean, the stats are something that is always solvable by the patient. Yeah?
In years 2 and 3 of the course, it mentioned 2 specialist courses in sociology. Both. What exactly do they, or what kind of specialist?
So we have about 10 specialist courses, and they range from the sociology of employment, which is one that is always there, the crime course that is offered by Janet Foster. There's a new course on digital technologies and speed, which is all about how technology is changing society. There's also a couple of courses that are going to be new, which relate to class. And we might introduce a course on the sociology of art, which is a new area that we're exploring because we're expanding in terms of the number of staff. There's also something on biomedicine and sort of bioscience, which is another undergraduate course that is offered. Let me think of which other ones. I always forget the options. Of course, there's one on human rights. There's actually 2 courses on human rights that are offered by the department at the undergraduate level. And we might also introduce one on economic sociology in the next year or two. So that would be something you would be able to take.
Now that it's out there, where is the best coffee?
Where is the best coffee?
Well, Starbucks isn't the answer.
I know,
and the coffee at OSD is okay, but it's not the best one in the world. There's a nice coffee shop across the street, the Lane, but it's a little bit expensive. If you don't want that one, coffee at Garrick isn't that bad. It's actually good. But the coffee at the students, the dining room isn't that good. So the Garrick is a good place, which is the one on the corner of Halloween Street. The other one isn't terrible. It's not bad, but it is really good. Yeah.
Is it
so social
psychology taught in a sociology?
It's not taught within the degree, but it's an option that students can take. So for instance, students can take options in anthropology, in management, in social psychology, in social policy, and they tend to take at least half of their options as outside courses. So it is something that is possible. And generally speaking, with social psychology, social work, there isn't too much of an issue with taking those courses. Some students sometimes want to take a course in economics, and that tends to be a problem because there's prerequisites on the one hand, and also they tend to be very quantitative, so it also that's a problem. But yeah, it's sometimes a problem.
Thanks. If you're not sure about which subject especially you want to do a degree in, mm-hmm. are you allowed to apply to two different departments within the LSE?
That I'm not completely sure. I wouldn't be able to answer that one, but what I do know is that it is relatively easy to transfer within the first year. So one thing you can always do, and we had a couple of students who did that this year, they started in international relations, and they were taking the outside course in sociology. So they did like international relations after the first year, so they transferred into sociology, and that was relatively easy. It's just signing a sheet of paper and saying that.
So these on-site courses, they're like optional?
Yeah, so within the... They're optional, but you have to take a number of courses every year, and first and second year, which are completely invisible, you have to take four courses per year. In the first year, one is an outside course, in the second year, two are an outside course, and in the third year, actually, one is a sociology course, and the other two are outside courses. So every year, you have to take four courses. And you can select those courses at the beginning of the year and decide which ones to pick.
And they should be linked with the main program?
They would need to be linked. It's something that is recommendable so that you're... I mean, it's also good to explore. And if you want to explore other things, it's a good moment to do so in terms of looking at how other disciplines understand the world. So, for instance, people take philosophy courses, anthropology courses, again, management sometimes, economics, government, etc. So it's something you can do. In the third year, we do suggest that the outside courses are linked in some way to the dissertation, because that way you're reading around the same topic in all your courses, and that is reflected in the quality of the dissertation, of the final project. But it's something that you can also say, you know what, I don't want to. There's this really super awesome course that I want to take, so I'm going to do that rather than read around my dissertation.
Okay. Assuming you can prove that you can keep up with the work, is there any flexibility to take any postgraduate
modules? None of that. That's increasingly happening within the LSE. So some of these modules are shared. So you take a little bit of the postgraduate course as an undergraduate course. So that's the case with, for instance, the employment course and political sociology. So in political sociology, which is one of the other options, you share the lectures and some of the seminars with postgraduates, and then you have independent classes at the undergraduate and postgraduate level. And increasingly, this is something that is happening throughout the LSE. And it's something good because it allows you to get more exposure to courses throughout the degree. So yeah, it's, in some cases it is possible.
And if not, you can always audit courses. There's a lot of that that goes on. So you can know when a particular course will be. You just email the convener and ask him or her if you can go to the course. And that way you're not assessed in that particular course. Yeah. So you know where the coffee is, that's the really, really, really important thing. You know where the library is, and if you're here, you'll spend a lot of time there. And there's the new building, which is also very nice and flashy. But the critical thing is what you do in the classroom, in the degree, how you use the resources, how you talk to us, and how you use us. We're here to be used, basically. We're here to help you grow, and that's what we like to do. Because at the end of the process, you produce amazing things, and we become very, very proud of the things that you produce. So, again, we'd like to see what you do.